Let's open our Bibles. If you don't have one, just look on with somebody, or if you have your iPad or your iPhone, we're going to go to John chapter 3, and we're just going to read John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18. We're going to read that together. And when you get there, say amen. Well, a few of you there. Let's read that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. You know, it's a wonderful thing. The scripture says, as he is, so are we to be in this world. So that means to me that we are not to go around condemning people for what they're doing or not doing, in church, out of church, saints or sinners. You're not here to condemn people, but you are here to share what good news of the gospel is. That people have been, their sins have been paid for. Jesus came and stripped the devil of his power and authority here in the earth, and that their sins have been paid for, and all they need do is accept him. And they can receive eternal life, which is what the Bible says. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the things, let's turn over to 3 John. This is the just before here. We've got just before the book of Jude. So we have 3 John, Jude, and then the last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. So we've got the third epistle of John, and let's go to verse 2. Third epistle of John, all the way in the back. I want us to look at this for a moment. Third epistle of John. And we're going to look at a few scriptures this morning in this area. It says, beloved, so he's talking to the church, the saints. He said, I wish above all things, not some things, all things. He wishes above all things that thou mayest prosper. And if you look that word prosper up, that means to have abundance, wealth, that you may prosper and be in health, but there's a condition. Even as thy soul prospereth. So in order for you to prosper and be in health, your soul has to prosper. What does that mean? Your thinking has to be different. If you think poor, if you think sick, if you think something in a particular way, and we see that in society today, people who are in very difficult situations, can't see their way out of it. There's no way. So they talk the condition. So their thinking is such that it affects their what? Their believing. And there's scripture over in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So as we think, we believe certain things. If we think that we are in a certain condition and can't get out, and we don't have any other information to correct that, then we're going to think a certain way, and we're going to believe a certain way. And if your thinking is off, then your believing can be off. If your believing is off, then most times your talking is off, your speech is off, and you start talking what you think and believe. So what we're doing is we're going through the Bible to do what? See what God has to say. Now I want you to turn to a few other scriptures. This is the, if you want to turn quick, this is a book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, and look at verse 19. We're going to look at just a few scriptures here. Numbers chapter 23, Genesis, Exodus, and Numbers. And verse 19. See, it's one thing, you know, people will say, well, I don't know about God. I don't know if he'll do that or not. Well, God had some things to say about that in his own word. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it? Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make a good? God is not a man that he should lie. Now you can go forward and look at the book of Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Look at Malachi chapter 3 and look at verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Says, for I am the Lord, I change not. So God, when he speaks something, he didn't say light be and then change his mind. He didn't call things into existence and change his mind. He said, he has said it, he shall do it. I am the Lord, I change not. I'll read one other scripture. James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't change. If he's spoken it, it's settled. And I think this is one of the things that we need to determine. When you look at Psalm 119:89, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is settled. He cannot lie. He changes not. If he has said it in his word, that's settled. So if I read something that says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health. If God has inspired the writers to write it, he's spoken it, it is settled as far as I'm concerned. God has desired that we prosper and be in health. So somebody that says, I'm not sure if God wants to heal me, then your thinking is wrong. If you're not sure God wants to prosper you, then your thinking is wrong. That's just the bottom line. And our thinking needs to be corrected. I'll read another scripture. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. Romans chapter 12. You want to write it down? You can. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God has a perfect will, he has an acceptable thing, and he's already stated it in his word. So we have to do what? Correct our thinking. Our minds have to be transformed. If you look that word up, you can take a look at it. How many know when they read in the Bible that Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration? We all know the story. Jesus went up to the mountain. He was transfigured before, I forget, who was it? Who was he transfigured before? On the Mount, Well, Elijah and Moses were there, but I'm talking about his disciples, Peter, right, Peter, James, and John. But the point is, if you look at this word transformed, when it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that word transformed in the Greek is metamorphou. It means metamorphosis. If you look it up in most of the modern translations, other than the King James, it means to be, what's the word? Not transformed. It means transfigured. So your mind needs to be totally transfigured. And, you know, sometimes I laugh, you know, when the world, see, because that's what the devil tries to create fear in people. You hear so many people say they're being brainwashed. Thank you. I am being brainwashed with the Word of God. And the Word of God is transfiguring my mind so that I think like God. I have His thoughts. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So my mind needs to be corrected so that my believing is correct and my speech is correct. Taking a little time to just share that. So we can see that God's will is that we prosper. And that, you can turn over to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4, all the way to the back again. See, when you've become a brand new creature in Christ, it says all things have passed away, all things have become new. That means that you have rights and privileges as His son or daughter. There are privileges that come along with sonship. And so the scripture, some of the scriptures, I'll read a few. Well, let's read this first. 1 John 4:4, it says, ye are of God, little children. That means once you've become born again, what does it say? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So one of the things that we are in this world, you can turn to the gospel, you can go over to the book of John, and you can write this scripture down, John chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, if ye were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So you've been born again. You've accepted the Lord Jesus. You are in this world, but you are not of it. And what does that say here? This just said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So you are greater because the greater one that lives in you is greater. You can overcome the circumstances that you face in life. And so one of those, I would say, is this area of lack. And turn over to Colossians, the book of Colossians. I want to make some points here. Book of Colossians. And let's look at chapter 1 and look at verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. I'm reading from the King James. That just means able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom," this in Christ, "we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So when we became born again, our heart was changed. He came inside, and this says here that we've been delivered from the power of darkness. What does that mean? That just means that when you're, that word power means authority, if you look that word up. So you've been delivered from the authority of Satan's kingdom. That means he has no more legal right over you. That means ye are of God, little children, and greater is he that is inside of you than he that is in the world. Let me say it this way. When Adam, when God made Adam and breathed his very nature into him, Adam was really the first, if you could, he was the God of this world. Adam was really the first God of this world. The earth was the Lord's, is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and everything in it is the Lord's. But Adam was given the right to oversee it. He was the God of this world. And legally, he turned it over to Satan by sinning and disobeying God. And so Satan then became, which is in the Bible, what is 2 Corinthians, I believe, is it 4:4 or 10:4? 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, and it talks about Satan being the God of this world. Legally, when Adam sinned and was ushered out of the garden, Satan became the God of this world. But there's good news. This is the good news here. When we look at Colossians and we go over from here and it says, and we look at verse 13, we've been delivered from the power or the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. When you look at chapter 2, it says here, chapter 2, starting in verse 13 in the book of Colossians, it says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So when Jesus was raised from the dead, every man, woman, and child that ever was or would be, their sins were forgiven. Their sicknesses were paid for. Their prosperity was paid for. And this continues and says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. That means anything that was held against you was blotted out. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, doing what? Nailing it to his cross. That's why the devil hates the cross. And you can continue, and it says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." That means he triumphed over them in the cross. What does that mean, to spoil? It means they were disarmed, they were paralyzed, they were brought to naught. So the devil's power has been stripped. It's been brought to naught. It's been disarmed. He has no power other than he makes people think he does. He makes people think he has power. And you can see that even in the world today, he deceives people in two camps. You got some that are fearful of him, and then there's some on the other ditch that get involved with him in witchcraft. And they think the devil is so big and bad and powerful. Now, he does have power, but he has no power in the name of Jesus. When we use the name of Jesus and we command him to leave because of the blood of Jesus, that has been right here, you can see here, because of the cross, because of the shed blood of Jesus, and because he went to hell, and all of man's sins were paid for, and when that was done, God said, enough, and he was raised from the dead. So the devil, which is what we were reading before in 1 John 4:4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. God is greater than the devil. Jesus is greater than the devil. And his power has been stripped. Now, why am I saying all of this regarding prosperity? Because it says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Let's take a look at, I want us to take a look at a scripture here. In 2 Corinthians, if you would turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. This is a covenant that we have with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus. He reconciled us to God by his blood. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Now, I'm going to stop here and make a comment. That word rich, when you look it up, means to have abundance. It means to have resources. It says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. That word rich means to have abundance. It means to have resources available to you. And this says here, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That means us, through his poverty might be rich. Now, here's the question. If we can determine when he was made poor, then it could determine when we could be made rich, right? If he was rich in heaven, well, then I got to get to heaven to be rich, see? Now, I don't think some people say he was made poor when he came to this earth. Some people think that. They say, well, he left heaven, that was rich, and he came here, and he became poor when he left heaven and came to earth. Well, if that's so, we could find that in the scriptures. And so let me read this in the Amplified, the 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, yet for your sakes he became so very poor in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. So that means we can be abundantly supplied because he became poor. Amen. Now, let me read a few scripture verses here. And again, as I said, this word rich means to be abounding. If you look it up for yourself, the Greek word, it says wealthy, abounding in material resources. So we are to abound in material resources. let's turn over to, you're right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's back up to chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians. And let's take a look at verse 21. So when he became poor has everything to do when we can become rich. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we're to receive something from him because what? He did something for us. So we can receive. Now let me ask this question. Let's read this again. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let me ask this question. Does it say here when Jesus was made sin? Does it say when he was made sin? It just says he was made sin. Does the scripture here tell you when he was made sin? No. So he bore our sins, but it doesn't say when, does it? Let's go over to 1 Peter, because the scripture should answer when he was made sin. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 24. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Scripture should tell us exactly when Jesus was made sin. There are many scripture references that say Jesus was made sin, but let's read verse 24. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body," when? "On the tree." So here we can see he was made sin on the tree, on the cross, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So you can see here he bore our sins, he bore my sins on this earth, then I get to bear his righteousness where? On this earth, not in heaven. So if he bore my sins on this earth, then I get to bear his righteousness. Some people and some, I remember growing up, some churches would say, you know, when you get to heaven, you'll find out whether you're saved or not. It's too late. You know, you'll find out when you get to heaven. No, he died here on this earth so that we could become and receive his righteousness where? On this earth. So we don't have to wait to get to heaven to become righteous. Now, keep your finger there and let's go over to Matthew chapter 8 and let's look at verse 17. Matthew chapter 8 and... this is all talking about prosperity. Matthew chapter 8, and look at verse 17. I'll start in verse 16. It says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick." How many did he heal? All. Verse 17, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." So this was done for us. Let me ask this question. Does it say when he bore our sicknesses here? I heard one say no. Did anybody else? Does he say here where or when he bore our sicknesses? in this scripture verse. It just says he bore our sicknesses. Does he say when? No. Okay. So what did we just get done reading in 1 Peter 2:24? It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body when? On the tree, on the cross. So we can read here in Matthew 8:17, he bore our sicknesses, but it doesn't say when. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we can see healing and sin was paid for where? On the tree, on the cross. It was paid for. So that means that if it was paid for, I can receive it. I can walk in it. It's a provision for me. So we can see here, by his stripes ye were healed, is included in the context of this verse, 1 Peter 2:24. So we bear our sins, and he also bore our sicknesses. Now, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And look at verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. This supports 1 Peter 2:24. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, Christ hath. What is hath? Hath is what? That means has. That means past tense, right? So Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for who? Us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a what? A tree. So does this tell us when he was cursed? Yes. It tells us he was cursed on the tree, on the cross. So if this was paid for on the cross, do I need to have it? Do I need to walk in unrighteousness? Do I need to walk in sickness? Do I need to walk in poverty? No, because it's been paid for on the cross. And this says here, it says, he was made a curse for us. So let's back up. I want us to take a look at this, because somebody might say, well, what is the curse of the law? I have no idea what that is. Let's back up to Deuteronomy. So you want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and verse chapter 28. And let's look at these verses here. And we can look at, here, when you look at Galatians, it says here that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. It doesn't say here what the curse of the law is, but we've been redeemed from it. So you need to look at, in the Old Testament, what is the curse of the law? What is that? We've been redeemed from it, right? We don't, but if you start in verse 1, from verse 1 all the way through to verse 14 are the blessings of the law. It says, and it shall come to pass, in verse 1, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That just basically means we're going to listen to God and obey him. do what he says we should do. Now we know here when it says observe to do all his commandments, we have a new commandment. You can go over in John chapter 13 and look at verse 34 and 35. And he said, this is my commandment that we're to do what? Love thy neighbor. We're to walk in love towards one another and love God. So essentially when we do that, see, then, and we listen to him and obey him, all of these blessings will be afforded us. Now, when you go down to verse 15, and it says, but it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So this is what we've been redeemed from because of Christ becoming a curse for us. Where? On the cross. So this says here, cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Does that sound like your stuff? Your goods? Your bank account. That sounds like that to me, right? It says here, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And you can go on, you can go down and read all the way through this, through verse 61. And you can see a lot of this covers various types of things that affect the body and so forth. And verse 61, all the way at the end, it says, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring on thee until thou be destroyed. So that means if Christ took our sicknesses and sins on the cross, that means he took every sickness that ever was or would be. It's already been paid for. So my question is, so it's back to this again, when did Christ become poor? On the tree. He was not poor. Now think about this. When he was on this earth and he walked on this earth, he had a treasurer, his name was Judas, who was the one who held the bag. He had money. And if you read through the scriptures, Jesus had a house. And so he lived somewhere. And so he had a house, he had money. Just think about this. He had 12 disciples that were hungry and followed him. He had a band of folks that he had to feed and to take care of. So he had to have some money, he had to have some means. He certainly was not poor or sick on this earth prior to the cross. So Christ became poor, which is what we were saying here before. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that through his poverty, we might become rich. So we have, because of what he did on the cross, we can walk in the covenant blessings of God because of what Christ did on the cross. And so that's, when you read some of Brother Hagin's books, he has shared this. He said, most people, Jesus said to them, him personally, he said, my church doesn't have a problem with their believing. He said, their problem is in their speech. So most times what happens is, we believe that God can provide things, and then we look at circumstances and we say something else. And so the problem is our speech. We're putting in motion and creating conditions in our life. Turn over to Proverbs for a moment, and we'll end here. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. And let's look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." This says here, keep thy heart, that means my heart, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, when you look up that word issues, it means boundaries or extremities. We set the boundaries in our life by what we say. So when we say we can't, we've just set a boundary. If we say we can't afford to do this, we've set a boundary. And this says here, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart are the issues, are the boundaries that you determine in your life. Now, does it mean that we're not going to face issues and problems in life? But we're going to face issues and problems in life. But the key is that we've already been given God's promises that He desires that we prosper and be in health. And so one of the things, there's a particular scripture here that I'm going to just get to here in a moment, that turn over to Joshua 1:8, and we'll close with this scripture. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, right after the book of Deuteronomy. And look at verse 8 in chapter 1. And before I read that, I'm going to read Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." But there's some conditions, isn't there? We have to meditate in his word day and night, and it says here, we're not to walk in the way of the ungodly. Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let me read this from the New Living Translation. It says, "Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed." Let me read this from the God's Word Translation. It says, "Never stop reciting these teachings. You must think about them night and day, so you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed." So we have to continue to recite and meditate on the scriptures that God has promised us, what I would call his covenant promises to me. And those scriptures, you can go through the scriptures and you can go into, I believe it's Matthew 4, it talks about the sower sowing the word. It talks about in the beginning was the word, in John 1:1, and the word was with God and the word was God. And so it talks about the significance of God's word. Everything is upheld by his word. And so God's word is a seed, and when we get that seed into our hearts, it will bring forth, as it says in Matthew, it says some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But there's seed that falls on the hard ground and it doesn't bring forth. It says some seed is scorched because it doesn't have any depth of earth. It has some seed that's choked because of the cares of this earth. And so seed will produce if it's put in the right ground. And one way of cultivating and creating, we know that our heart, when it's been made brand new by God, that is good ground, isn't it? So this heart is good ground. When I plant seed in it, I don't want to corrupt it with other things. So that's why God is saying, you meditate on my word day and night, water it, recite it. And for me, I've gone through some experiences that I know some of you have. You walk through life and you walk through experiences. And some of those experiences for me have been very significant. But the things that have gotten me through is me meditating on God's word and speaking God's word in those circumstances to see me through. And so here, when it comes to finances, just like your health, just like any other area, am I saying, here's what I'm saying. Does it mean we don't go to the doctor? Doesn't mean that you go to the doctor when you're led to go to the doctor. Does it mean that we shouldn't get some kind of financial counsel? Doesn't mean that at all. But what it does mean is that when I'm faced with circumstances in life, what we've been reading is that the devil's power has been broken over you. You are not subject to his kingdom and his authority. And all of the ilks and problems that get put on this earth, you are not subject to them. You are subject to God's kingdom and his laws and his blessings. And so we can partake of those by how? Those graces that have been provided for us are received by what? Faith. And so by faith we receive. By faith we receive health. By faith we receive the blessings of prosperity. This is what we read in Deuteronomy 28. All of these blessings are ours if we obey him. And again, as we see here, meditating in his word day and night. So he was made poor that we might be made rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I hope that helps. Hope that answers some questions. If it doesn't, feed upon it. You know, for me, the things that have positioned me for God to bless, I'm thinking about in my own personal life, I decided to begin professing what the Word of God says. Did my condition change overnight? No. My condition didn't change overnight. Some of it took years. But what you're doing is you are putting words out and speaking God's words and his covenant. You're giving God something to work with. Faith-filled words will create something in your life. So faith-filled words God can work with. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So some of the things that when I didn't have two nickels to rub together, I began to decree with my mouth the promises of God. I began to say, I have this, I own this, I can do this, I will do this. And what did that do? It positioned, it gave God something to work with so that he then began to open doors to me that normally wouldn't have been opened. And it's no different when people can't or won't see because of this here. This is why when the Bible says that we're to pray that we receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Our eyes will be enlightened by the word of God. And so we ask God for enlightenment. So as we speak God's word, that's why I encourage, I don't care what age you are, if you are of an age that you understand, take this word. I don't care if you're 10, 5, 15, 25, 55, 75, and you're just starting. You take that word and you begin to decree the promises of God and don't get off it. And your life will change. The blessings of God will be yours. And you'll walk in them. And I've seen it in my life and seen it in everyone who has believed and trusted God for those provisions. Because the Bible promises them. And unless we take them, I'll just say it this way, unless you take them by faith, you won't receive. You'll walk through life without. And we don't want that. Because we want to please God in everything that we do. Amen. So Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we take this word to our hearts. And Father, we thank you that as we do, we'll see changes in this earth. We'll see changes in our life. And we thank you that you have spoken in your word, that you change not. You've spoken in your word that you have expressed that you desire that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So, Father, as our soul is renewed to the word of God, we will walk in the blessings and provisions of God. And we thank you for it. We receive this seed into our hearts. We receive the word of God in our hearts. And we thank you that our minds are changing to think like you, to talk like you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.